The Littlest Library by Poppy Alexander, read by Karen Cass. Chapter 1. You're free. That's one way of looking at it. Oh, come on, said Hannah. You were buried alive in that place. How long's it been? 10 years? 11, since we both graduated. And I was very lucky to get that job. But ask yourself, honestly, will you keep in touch with any of them? Jess sighed. She had worked daily with the unlikely ragbag of personalities in Boughton-on-the-Marsh Library. But even on the day it closed its doors for the last time, she knew, beyond the fondness of familiarity, she had nothing in common with any of them. Not really. Exactly, said Hannah, smug in victory. You've lost nothing. What? I've lost my job. Sure, but it's just a job, and a boring one at that. And it's not like you've... Hannah faltered. It's not like I've got anyone to support, Jess finished for her. It was true, she didn't, not anymore. It had been a year of crushing losses, as her friend knew better than anyone. You know you've always got me, said Hannah stoutly, shoveling another spoonful of mush into her baby's face, and then turning back to face the screen, seeking eye contact. This was their near-daily ritual, with Hannah on the screen propped on the dresser in the kitchen, and Jess sitting at the scrubbed pine table, having her pre-supper glass of wine. It was so lovely having you at the funeral, Jess remembered wistfully. Such an amazing surprise. Where did you think I'd be? I thought you'd be 11,000 miles away, seeing as you are. Thank God for airlines and the internet, said Hannah, raising her mug of coffee in acknowledgement of Jess raising her glass. I do feel virtuous drinking coffee while you're knocking back the vino. Oi, less of the value judgments. When I start drinking wine for breakfast, you have my permission to be officially concerned. So, what will you do? Nothing keeping you in Boughton-on-the-Marsh now, is there? It's about time. It's my home. I've got the house. It's time to move on, said Hannah resolutely. What would Mimi say? Home is where you lay your hat. She always wanted you to go off and explore the world. Now's the time. Pastures new, agreed Jess doubtfully. That's what she used to say. Exactly. Pastures new. Jess was what her grandmother Mimi had always called a homegrown lass. Boughton-on-the-Marsh, born and bred. Mimi was from France originally, and Papa had always proudly declared that you could take the lass out of Paris, but you couldn't take Paris out of the lass. Mimi wasn't her name, really, but it was the closest a 2-year-old Jess could get to Mémé, French for granny, and in the end it was what everyone called her. Mimi had settled in the UK without a backward glance after falling in love with Papa all those years ago. Her grasp of English became near perfect, and her French accent almost consumed by flat Middle England vowels. That said, Mimi may have submitted to life in a small market town far from home, but she certainly didn't capitulate. Her sometimes humdrum life was enlivened, as were the lives of all around her, by her relentlessly Parisian attitude. No outfit was complete without a jaunty scarf. No supper, however light and casual, was presented without a single bloom in a slim vase, and a glass of good red wine. She was never without a slick of her signature bright red lipstick, and she had the permanently exciting, unsettling tendency to give the impression she was just about to embark on a huge adventure. Jess's life, on the other hand, with one huge exception, had followed a preordained path from local school to local college to local university, and then, straight from there, to a local job in the local library. All safe, safe, safe. God, she was boring. Predictable. As usual, Jess and Mimi did everything they could to avoid dangerous introspection over that point in her life. The event, just before her 4th birthday, which was so terrible it still had the power, nearly 30 years on, to stop a conversation in its tracks. This was why none of her colleagues in the library had known. She had barely any memory of her parents now, relying instead on the stories Mimi told her throughout her childhood. These stories were never about the car crash, of course. Instead, they...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?